Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Press Sermon Podcast. At the end of the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe to this channel or our YouTube channel to stay up to date with our latest Sunday messages. We are so glad to have you joining us, and we are praying that the following message might inspire you to take your next steps toward Jesus.
Hey, good morning, church. Good to be together as we get into the message this morning. Just a quick financial update, too. We've heard some great things about inviting. Our comms director actually pointed out a survey that said, like, of people that come to church for the first time, they asked them, why'd you come? And it was like 3% because the church had a program that I liked. 6% was, what was the 6%? I forget what that was. I've got it right here. Okay. 6% was, walked in off the street. 8% was, I saw a sermon online. I thought, well, I'd try that in person. 83% was, I got invited by a friend. Somebody invited me and came with me. So do invite, do go out and invite people, drag them along, come bring them to church. This is a great, yeah, just grab them. You know, they're not doing anything. And come to one of our services. The thick ones are in the middle of the day. As you go later in the evening, there's more room if you're worried about that. But we've got room, and it's going to be an awesome Tuesday, and the gospel's going to be presented, so please bring people. Quickly, if you don't grab one of these, please do. This is a way to stay in touch with the church and sign up for our weekly Tuesday email and all that. But always take a look at this, and one thing you'll see in here is a financial update. What's not on here is that our stewardship thing, where we're asking people to commit to giving for next year's ministry, that's actually up 3.5%. So we're excited about that. That we're going to head into next year with a lot of confidence in ministry. And then you'll see in here, we are looking for about 10% of the church budget to come in between now and the end of the year. So that's always a matter for prayer. And just keep praying that God continues to provide for this ministry as He always does. But if you'd like to participate, we'd love to have you be a part of what we're doing here. So we are finishing up this series and looking at, what do you name Him? Prince of Peace. We're actually not finishing up the series, but we're finishing up the four names of Jesus that come in Isaiah 9:6. So we're looking at Prince of Peace. We're going to read from Ephesians 2, verses 12 to 22. So open your Bibles, get there together, and as we open the Bibles, as we open the Scriptures, let's open our hearts. Father God, thank You that You are merciful to Your children as we gather up in Your name, and that You send Your Spirit so that we cannot just get stuck looking at a word on the page, but that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we can actually hear Your voice speaking to us, full of grace and truth, calling us to new life. So speak to us by Your holy word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 2 at verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Prince of Peace. Some years ago now, I was watching the news and caught footage of a Black Friday shopping riot. Do you remember these things? We don't have as much anymore because I think online shopping has taken the pressure off. Like, I'll just buy it online. But you remember, these were the good old days where you would line up at 3 a.m. outside of Best Buy or Walmart or the mall or something, and then you'd come bursting in. Well, I watched the news footage. It was a mall in New Jersey, and there was this countdown moment, 3, 2, 1. Then they opened the doors, and people came pouring into the mall. It was like jailbreak. It's like they had just broken through the walls of the prison. You know, they're running all around, arms flailing, eyes darting around, trying to find that TV for 20% off or that video game. People kind of bumped into each other. They stomped on each other. There were injuries. And behind all that, hanging on the wall, was this really beautiful banner. It was red and gold and glittery. It was hanging down behind them, and it had on it one word, a beautiful Christmas decoration banner, and it had on it the word, do you want to guess? Peace. Yeah. And I couldn't help but catch the irony as the sort of melee of human consumer desperation was just boiling around under this sign, peace. We don't need peace as a Christmas decoration. We don't need peace hanging on a wall. We need the real thing. We need the truth. We need the genuine thing. We don't need it in glitter, you know, fake and superficial. We need the real thing. Jesus brings true peace. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote these words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," say it with me, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is Prince of Peace. There are many names, many things people call Jesus. What do you name him? That's what we're asking. When it comes to you, what do you name Jesus? What do you call him? Of all the things that people say he is or that he isn't, what do you name Jesus? Today with Isaiah, we name him Prince of Peace because Jesus is the author of peace. Jesus does bring true peace. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he establishes his kingdom, his peace, it will have no end. And because that exists, because that is coming, and he invites us to be a part of it today, you too can know his peace. War is a terrible thing. Whenever it happens, it's an awful thing. And it's not only is it gut-wrenching, is it painful, is it hard to see it unfold, but it's also confusing, isn't it? Sometimes, not all the time, but often it's hard to figure out who's in the right, who's in the wrong. I grew up watching Lone Ranger. Anybody else? I mean, Lone Ranger, you know, you could figure it out. White hat, good guys. Black hat, I mean, I could figure that. I could make it through that. But so often, and again this year, we've watched wars erupt and continue, and we watch people get hurt, and we see the pain on both sides. We see just the pain that is caused by a human being's ability to go to war with one another and cause ultimate destruction. How is our world doing? Israel is still fighting to survive with threats of terrorism from all sides. And our hearts are broken, our hearts wrenched with the pain of the infants, the children, the innocents who are caught up in conflict. Russia is still attacking the Ukraine. North Korea is jumping in. The South Koreans are afraid of the North Koreans because they're rattling their sabers against them. China seems to be zeroed in on Taiwan. The Mexican cartels appear to have more control over the northern region of that nation than the proper authorities do. And who knows what's happening with all the children that are caught up in all of that. And we turn to our own nation and we see people rising up. We see violence occurring in our own country. We see a young man educated in the Ivy League who believes it's right to step forward and gun down a business leader in the streets of New York. And we see, surprisingly, an enormous amount of the public square agreeing. How is our world? We look closer to home and we just say, thank God for the Colorado Springs Police Department, you know, who step towards chaos that's happening and try to bring peace. But how about in your own life? How about in your own heart? How about your family, your household? Is there peace? We think about our own relationships where there's betrayal, where there's lack of trust, where there's falsehood or unforgiven wrongs, and you're carrying these things around and you wonder, where is the peace? I mean, how did you sleep last night? And we ask ourselves, where can my soul actually rest? Where can my soul actually take a minute just to find peace? Where can all of the sediment settle out of the water because I'm settled on something that's strong, that's steady, that's true? Is there an island of peace in this ocean of unrest? Is there a sanctuary of solace in this kind of world that's just at each other and flying at me from all different directions? Where is there peace? Jesus says, I am the Prince of Peace. And the peace that I bring is different from the world's peace. Peace and hope and love and joy and faith. We decorate our walls with these words. We light these candles. We sing these songs. We're thinking of these words, but we can't just say these words. We need to know them. It's like Jeremiah who said long, long ago, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, where there is no peace. We don't want it in glitter and glue. We want it genuine. We want it real. We want it true. We want the real thing. How do you find peace? It comes with naming Jesus, Prince of Peace. This Ephesians 2 passage is all about Jesus who won our peace. Look at this. Verse 14 is actually the verse that, if you could commit this to memory, why don't you read this with me? This is our key verse for this week. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus is our peace. He himself is our peace. Later on, it says in verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. Naming Jesus Prince of Peace is not some superficial act. This is not a light matter. This is not glitter and glue. This is the real thing. Jesus establishes a real peace, a true peace, an actual peace. And his peace is different from the peace that we find in the world. He said to his disciples, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. What's he saying? He's saying, for all the ways that we try to find peace in this world, for all the ways that we try to settle down with a little bit of peace, for all the promises that the world has of peace, of pinning it together, holding it in place, or constructing it and making it happen, for all the ways that the world says, I'll bring you peace or you can have peace, for all the ways that we pursue it, you know, a glass of wine and a bubble bath, I mean, that can be all right, can it? But the world has these promises of peace, and you know what? They always only get you a little bit closer. They always only get you maybe halfway, another drink, another pursuit of a drug or another night of mind-numbing entertainment, and you're only getting halfway. And what the world promises, it doesn't deliver. But Jesus says, I've got something different. The peace I give to you, I don't give it the way the world gives, which says, come on a little further, sacrifice a little more, maybe I'll inch you halfway close. No, Jesus says, my peace is different. My peace is established. My peace drops in from another world. My peace is real and it is true, and I've established it myself, and my peace is not like the world gives. Therefore, do not be afraid. That's why Paul, one of Jesus' followers, when he was arrested, he was in Rome waiting for his own execution. He wrote a letter back to his friends in Philippi, and he said, whatever you're facing, pray continuously, rejoice always, and you will find this in Philippians 4:7. The peace of God, which does what? Transcends all understanding. You know what that is? That means it's bigger than we can understand. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we need. We need a supernatural peace. We need something, a peace that is bigger than anything in this world that the world can't even understand. That's what we find in our Prince of Peace. Let me offer four aspects of naming Jesus Prince of Peace today. Number one, peace is the rule of Jesus. We name Jesus Prince of Peace this morning. In Isaiah, in the Hebrew, that's Sar Shalom. Prince, Sar means prince. Shalom means, what does Shalom mean? Peace. Yeah, I put you to sleep, haven't I? Sar Shalom. That's a cool term. He's Prince of Peace. And Shalom, it means peace, but you know it means a lot more than that. Shalom is kind of the Old Testament version of what the New Testament calls the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Shalom is more than just peace. Shalom is where all things have been put right, where everything broken has been fixed, where everything wrong has been set right, where everything sick has been cured. That's shalom. Jesus called it the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God is the king. It's where his rules are the rule. It's where his way is the way. It's where everything is put right. And Jesus is Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. It's not an empty title. Pastor Dave in our church, he went with his wife to England a couple weeks ago for vacation to hang out with King Charles. Yeah, right, he didn't really hang out with King Charles. I actually know a guy who worked for King Charles back when he was Prince of Wales. He got to know him and he said he was really odd. But but isn't it kind of odd, actually, to just think that there are kings and that, like, there is a royal? Isn't that a little bit weird? Maybe I'm too American. But it's like, it's a little strange. Like, really? As a king? Yeah, there's a king. But those titles, those royals in England, they've got all kinds of titles. It's not just the top one. They've got piles and piles of titles. And something like Prince of Wales, what does that tell you? It means that this prince, he's got kind of a kingdom, and he owns, you know, it belongs to him. He's Prince of Wales. Jesus is Prince of Peace. It kind of makes it sound like peace is a place. Shalom is a place. Shalom is a land. It's a place. It's a kingdom. And it isn't just a place that Jesus knows about or tells you about or gives you the directions to. It's a place where he is the king, where he rules. He owns that place, and he belongs there, and he invites us to be a part of it. Calling Jesus Prince of Peace, it's about saying, I want to enroll in that kingdom. I want to be a citizen of that land where you, Jesus, are over all. And even though it isn't here yet, when we're part of the kingdom of God, we can tell that it's coming. We can see that it's on the way. We can catch glimpses of its glory. It's breaking out. God's doing things. And we can see the kingdom is coming and his promises are sure. It's like in the summertime when you can smell the rain coming, you know? When you're part of the kingdom of God, when you call Jesus Prince of Peace, you can smell the rain. It's on the way. And that gives you some peace today. The reign of Christ is a rule of peace. Number two, the rule of Jesus unites you to God. When Jesus is the Prince of Peace in your life, when he's the Lord over your life, when he's your Savior, you're reunited to God in the inner regions of your soul. You're reunited with God the Father. For 4 weeks now, we've read Isaiah 9, but did you hear this little phrase? The government will be upon his shoulders. And what do you imagine? What is that? What do you picture? like a sign of a government. Maybe a king wears a crown, or a prince has a diadem on a sash, or someone's wearing a ring and saying, this is a sign of the kingdom. The government will be on his shoulders. We don't even know what to picture, but we know, don't we? Our Messiah King took the wood of the cross and he laid it across his shoulders. And he gave his life, he poured out his body and his blood as what we call an atoning sacrifice. He poured out his blood on the cross so that we could be forgiven and reunited to a holy God, God our Father, so that we could come home no matter where we are. And that government lays across his shoulders as a cross. And by the cross, he establishes his kingdom that lasts forever. Look at this in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the what? The blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. We don't like to think about that as much around Christmas time. It's the blood of Jesus spilled out that makes it possible for us to be forgiven. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. And he spilled blood that was not owed so that our debt could be paid. See, the sickness that causes warfare, the sickness in the world that causes all this turmoil and this lack of peace, all this violence, the sickness in this world, it's more than a lack of education. It isn't going to be fixed by more classes. It's more than a lack of financial distribution of wealth. It's not going to be fixed by the greatest economic advances of any government in the world. It's greater than the lack of moral clarity or moral courage. It's greater than all of those things. It's more powerful than all of those things. It's a sickness. It's an illness that the Bible calls sin. What is the root of all the turmoil? The root cause of all the violence in the world? It's this. It's that you and I are in active rebellion against the reign and rule of Jesus. And until we lay down our arms, until we turn around and lay down our rebellion, until we stop and we say, Lord, you are sovereign, you are my king, you are my savior, you are my Lord, forgive me, I want you to rule over my life. Until you turn and do that, you will not know peace. But when you do, his peace begins to reign. The rule of Jesus is peace. Jesus makes peace between you and God. But you know what else? Jesus makes peace between one another. The rule of Jesus, number three, unites us to one another. Jesus, Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace, he is a ruthless leader. He is a ruthless sovereign. And do you know what he is ruthless against? Hostility and division. He is the killer of killing. He is the destroyer of destruction. He is hostile against hostility. Our passage in Ephesians, it puts language in there. Jesus, he kills hostility. He breaks down the dividing walls. He slashes what keeps us apart from one another. Jesus is ruthless about divisions in his family. We make divisions, don't we? We're good at dividing up. We're good at dividing into tribes and teams and sides and making our little divisions one against one another. We're really good at it. Did you know, for example, there is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan on our own pastoral staff right here at this church? Wow. You're just declaring it, you know? There's even a Cleveland Browns fan on our staff. There's a Chargers fan in the house right now. Yes, sir. We make these divisions. I can't help you people, by the way. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, my old church, on the day after that Georgia Tech football game that went to 8 overtimes. Let me tell you something. When you're in Atlanta, you actually don't joke about Georgia Tech. I'm like, that's real. We make these divisions and we laugh about stuff, but there's real stuff too in there. We're divided, rich against poor. We're divided, black against white, European, Arab, Asian, Latino, all the rest. We divide ourselves up and we use these divisions to break one another apart, to break into teams, to build up hostility. How about Republicans and Democrats? Are we getting along? How's it going? I mean, we can keep going. We can keep just calling each other names, you know? It's easy to do online. It's easy to do on Facebook. It's easy to do under our breath. We can just point our fingers, call each other fascist or socialist or Nazi or Nazi. If you notice how you can cut that one both ways, amazing. We love to jump into our pits. Of course, we have differences. We have differences of opinion. We have diversities that are beautiful. But do you know what's more beautiful? It's the unity that Jesus Christ has bought by his blood. It's the unity of the kingdom of God that is bigger. Oh, we can continue to pretend that these worldly divisions are more important than what Jesus Christ purchased by giving his body and blood on the cross. We can pretend that our little internecine fights about daily politics and our insider stuff, our inside baseball about what's going on with our country right now or this day, we can pretend that that's bigger than the kingdom of God that Jesus established by his own body and blood. But the truth is that Jesus has made a kingdom that is bigger than all those divisions. And the longer we want to sit in our little pits and point at one another and toss sharp things at each other and call each other names, Jesus, you know what Jesus says about that? He says, I'm going to break that down. That's not a part of my family. I'm drawing you into the family of God. Look at what it said, verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. What does it say? It says, consequently, you no longer do you behave that way. Not in the family of God. Jesus says, my house, my rules. You ever heard that? You're going to use that this week later on. My house, my rules. And now you're part of the kingdom of God. He's ruthless about it. Jesus breaks down the dividing walls of hostility that we use to make ourselves out to be superior than those around us. He says, hold on. I've won your place in the family of God. That's bigger. And of my government, there will be no end. Don't we need to hear that? Do we need to hear that? Because it's easy, isn't it? It's easy to start pecking at each other. It's easy. Jesus says no longer. The reign of Jesus, it brings peace. The rule of Jesus, it unites you with God the Father. The peace of Jesus, it unites us with one another. And last thing, finally, the rule of Jesus begins in your heart. See, it's easy for us to say, I want to see the rule of Jesus. I want to see the rule of Jesus come down from heaven and set everything right. I want to see the rule of Jesus come down over there. I want to see the rule of Jesus come down on them. See, I want to see the rule of Jesus. I want you to reign. I want you to come down and reign on City Hall. Just bring your kingdom down. I want to see you reign on Washington, D.C. Just bring your kingdom down. I want to see you reign. And of course, we want Jesus to reign and rule in all these things. But you see, it's easy for us to say, Jesus, I want you to bring your kingdom. I want you to drop it like a hammer on my crazy uncle that I can't stand, you know? that person who I've got this problem with in our relationship, bring your rule, Jesus, over there. Where does the rule of Jesus begin? Right here. When you say, Lord, I want your kingdom to come in my heart, the soil of my heart, make it the soil of your kingdom. Make it the soil of your land of shalom. Be Prince of Peace right here and join this part of the soil of this fallen world. Join this part of the soul to your kingdom. Make your kingdom bigger just by joining my heart with it. When we pray, our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, we're praying that the kingdom of God come down in our hearts, that his kingdom rules over our little kingdom right here. When we pray your will be done, we're praying, Lord, let your will supersede my will in all things. Your will be done right here. The reign and rule of Jesus, it begins in your heart when you turn and you open your heart and you call him Prince of Peace. Open your heart to Jesus. As the old Christmas carol says, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. Anywhere that someone is willing to bend the knee instead of clench the fist, anywhere where you're able to open your heart and say, Jesus, come in, break through, and be Lord over my life. He's roaming the halls. He's right here. And he enters in. And he brings his reign, his rule of everlasting peace. Are you ready to know him? Let's open our hearts. Let's pray. Jesus, we pitch ourselves in so many different directions trying to make or hold on to or construct a worldly peace. We want to be peacemakers, reflecting your love for peace. Jesus, we know that we need to run to you first. You are our peace. And in you, we've been brought home to God. We've been brought home to one another. We've been brought home to ourselves. So Lord, break through. Punch through the superficial and glittery things that call themselves Christmas this week. Break through. Grab a hold of our hearts and name this soil yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. To plan your visit, head to our website, firstpresscos.org. That's firstpresscos.org.